What up, Frenchy?
The only site that's being closed is, I would even remotely think the startup in any stretch of the brand. That's the only review I would respect. Hollywood Reporter's full of shit. Pitchfork's full of shit. I don't know what this Star Logan, bullshit. Noisy, bullshit. Stale Misfire, that's funny though. And Vulture. The fact that they would make this, that just seems beneath him. You're fucking Eminem. You don't have to do this.
Why you continue to play this card?
This is what Kelly said. You pull that wedgie out your dungarees. Like, you, everybody loved you. You still mad. Like
everyone loves Kamikaze. Why are you still posting, you know, shit like this?
Because he's not. You know what I think? I think Eminem realizes that as time has passed on, I think it's frustrating for him as an artist internally to not be able to still maintain this or occupy a space large enough as some of his peers, like Jay-Z, for example, the prime example, or even with Nas. When Nas drops an album, Nas might not sell a ton of records. He might not be number one on iTunes, but people talk about Nas, right? A better example would be Kanye West. That's one of his peers, you know. They came around at the same time, right? Few years later, Kanye did, but I think it frustrates him because he doesn't occupy the space, and I think he doesn't occupy the space because it's clear if you look at his records, at least the first four or five, he followed a formula. Okay, every first single was some sort of rendition of "Hi, My Name Is," right? Like let's be straight. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah. Hi, My Name Is, and the next album you had The Real Slim Shady.
The
silly pop rap songs,
basically. Yeah, he followed a specific formula, and then he would always have to have this emotional song about fucking disrespecting his mom or his
emotionally intense song whatever. Follow-up hit.
Yeah, it was a specific formula that he followed, and it worked for a time, and then times changed, and I think for him, one of the problems was he didn't grow as an artist, and that, a lot of that maybe was attributed to his drug problems and his personal problems perhaps, but that's not to say that has any bearing on his music just didn't grow. And like I said, I knew where his place was personally, from my opinion and from the ground that I'm standing on and the view that I see. I knew where his place was in hip-hop the moment I went to the Jay-Z and Eminem concert at Ford Field, and I saw it's mostly white people there. It's mostly white people. And I saw the way the crowd responded to Jay-Z and his performance because of his catalog of songs and the way they responded and reacted to Eminem. Predominantly white. This is Eminem, the great white hope, right? He's there, and I'm watching the crowd become zombie. His catalog, the plethora of his hits, they just don't resonate with people like that. They resonate with people for a time, at a specific moment in their lives, which is usually teen angst. You're mad, you're angry at your parents, you're trying to assert yourself in the world, you don't understand anything about the world, much in the same vein of which those records were recorded by Marshall Mathers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he was young. But they don't resonate with people as people can become adults, they begin to grow. And they don't deal in absolutes anymore. Much of those records are about absolutes. Like, you'll never see Hagley and you never loved me. Those are very young-ish teen angst. I don't know anything, but I feel like I know everything type of records, type of music. Those are the types of emotions. And when you become an adult, it's not about age. It's not about, oh, I'm 40, so now I'm a grown-up. Or, oh, I'm 30, and I'm a grown-up. You could still be a fucking child. I've said it before, maybe not on the podcast, but I'll say it now. A large part of recognizing that you are into adulthood is understanding that you can no longer deal or think in terms of absolutes. This idea of I'll never, or they'll never, or I won't, or I can't. If you are an adult, if you are thinking like an adult, you realize that shit changes and never is not a real thing. forever, that's not a real thing. All that is real is simply what is. And you deal with it day by day. And those records don't reflect that. So as the audience begins to grow and the audience begins to assume adulthood, it doesn't resonate with people the same. Okay. And I'm sitting there in that crowd and I'm watching him perform and I'm listening to those songs like Kill You. Kill You is dope just for the cadence and the way he spit the bars. I'm like, yo, this, I just listened to Kill You like 2 months ago. I'm like, yo, this shit's still sweet. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But do I feel it the same? No. So long, bitch, you did me so. I don't feel it the same. All right. I'm a grown up and I know this is the words of a child. I don't think I can try to articulate what I'm trying to say. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ghetto Tears, episode 39, round 2, fight. I am your host, Lamar the TVG, and to my left, I have No Diego. And to my right, I have No Manny. But straight across from me, I have the man, the marshal, the myth, the legend. Say what up, Frenchie.
What up, Frenchie?
We are doing it again, just me and French. I know they're probably listening like, fuck Lamar! Ah! The whole crew will be assembled. Ramrod. But I'm just giving you a little something for your patience and being avid listeners. I hope you've been able to catch up if you just started. And if you've been waiting, I hope you've had a good summer. The summer is over with. Death to the sun. And here we go. So I wanted to talk about French... that whole Nicki Minaj Cardi B thing, right? But I don't care anymore, so I don't want to talk about that.
It's child shit.
It's child shit.
We're adults.
We're adults. What I do want to talk about off the top of the dome right now is this. So today I was, Diego sent it to me in the Ghetto Cheers group chat, which you can never be a part of. Not you, French, but the listeners. But he sent it to us in the group chat. It was a Instagram post from some, I don't know whose Instagram it was. But they had the first still shot of, or live shot of, or camera test it was, I'm sorry, camera test of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in the upcoming Joker film next fall in 2019. And man, I gotta say, I was very impressed by the shot. The music choice was excellent. It gave me a very John Wayne Gacy serial killer type vibe, which I know they're shooting for rated R with this, so I'm hoping they show the... See, this is, so you don't, I know you don't watch Beyond the Trailer with a reviewer, movie reviewer by the name of Grace. I forget her last name. She's a blonde. She's kind of, she's not ugly. She's cute. Like, if you saw Grace, like, on the street, you'd be like, yo, what up, chick? You know, like, and when her hair is done, you're like, oh, hey, you know? But Grace sometimes, like, Diego knows what I'm talking about. Like, her reviews sometimes just drive us fucking insane. But sometimes, just sometimes, Grace is right. She hits the nail on the head, and me and Diego give each other a look like, wow, no, I can't believe we agree with Grace. You know what I'm saying? But she reviewed this camera test, and she was just ramming. Like, I don't like this. Blah, with Grace. I think Grace sometimes allows her personal feelings to get in the way of things, you know, like, about things. Like, the way she's been bashing Wonder Woman 84, and we haven't even seen the movie yet. Like, you know, but because her girl didn't get cast, I guess she's, like, cool with that chick from American Horror Story or something. I don't know her name by off the top of my head. But she didn't get cast as the role of Cheetah. That comedian did, and she doesn't like it, so Grace bashes the movie, clearly. But if you guys watch movie reviews on YouTube, go check out Beyond the Trailer. Shout outs to Grace. She doesn't listen to this, and it's not for you, Grace, so don't ever listen to our podcast. But she was talking about it, man, and she was just bashing the look, and I was like, you're crazy. What, because he doesn't have the fucking green and red fucking face paint? Heath Ledger didn't have that. Heath Ledger's face paint was black, red, and white. Oh, we all forgot about that, huh? Joker's face paint is red, white, and green. Heath Ledger's was black, white, and red, not green. But nobody pays attention to that. Like, let this man, Joaquin Phoenix, give his portrayal. Let Todd Phillips, the director, you know, direct his portrayal of this character that most people love. Forget about Heath Ledger. He's dead. There'll never be another Heath Ledger Joker. It's over. It died in Dark Knight. It was amazing. And revel in it. But let it go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready for this Joker film. Rated R. Warner Brothers on record. It's rated R. I'm like, fucking do it. I want to see him killing people. I want to see him getting his John Wayne Gacy on, feeding little kids poison ice cream. I want to see it. Give it to me. I want to see the horror. You know what I'm saying? The horror that the Joker really can cause. Not, it's supposed to come out like in October, I believe, 2019.
Mm-hmm. Next Halloween?
Right. The horror. Heath Ledger showed the insanity, right? Mm-hmm. People give for what all the I'm not a fan of Jared Leto's Joker, right? But I do appreciate his gangster. That was a missing element. Jack Nicholson brought a lot of the gangster to the Joker from the original character's concept, which was he was this gangster, right? Not the original, but just the Joker that maintained the dominance in the 80s of the comics in the Silver Age or what have you. But I appreciated Jared Leto's portrayal in that much, but I just didn't like the look. The mannerisms, it was too hipsterish for me. I mean, I know it's taken from the New 52 Joker, which was a Joker that grew on me, honestly. Like, I'm a big fan of the New 52 Joker. Like, it,
the is that whole, the one with the face where he cuts off his face?
And he puts a face on and shit.
Like, paper clips it back on or something?
He explained to Batman why he never died. He dipped himself in Dionysium. All the references to this old folktale called the Tall Man or the Pale Man and all that, that's the Joker. Like, he's been around Gotham since like the 1800s, and he was just bored, and then he saw Batman come about and he was like, I'm in love, like, this is my calling, like, I finally will never be bored again, like, this
a new play friend.
Yeah, this was the Joker of the New 52, and I'm like, oh god, this is fucking sweet, right? Jared Leto didn't quite go that route, but he took a lot from that Joker. And I was like, okay, I dig it. So the look didn't too much bother me. It was just the way he portrayed the character, right? But I did like the fact that he was more materialistic and more obsessed with being a gangster and controlling Gotham, which is a Joker that, for anybody who would shit on Jared Leto, if you were a fan of Mark Hamill's Joker from the animated series, more or less, outside of just fucking with Batman, that's what that Joker really did. He was about being a gangster. Go watch Batman, the animated series. Or not the animated series, but I'm sorry. Mask of the Phantasm. That's an animated movie. Have you ever seen it, French? Mm-mm. Oh, I'll let you borrow it, bro. It's the quintessential Batman movie. Like, it's better than The Dark Knight. Yeah, you heard me. Better than The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight was great because of the Joker. Okay? That's the problem with the last two films. Batman's not the best thing about those films. And while that can be good, that's also bad.
It's always been the antagonist.
Right.
Dark Knight Rises, Bane was the main... was the
best thing about the movie. If you could take... Here's what makes The Dark Knight superior. You could take the Joker out of that movie, and it would still be a great movie. With just Harvey Dent becoming Two-Face. That would still be a great movie. The Joker made the film. You know who didn't make the film? Nolan's Batman. You know why? Because that's not Batman. The Dark Knight Rises. You know who made the film? Bane. Take Bane out of the film. Is it still a good movie? It's terrible. It's a shit movie. I don't even watch that film. I only watch it for the Bane scenes because the rest of the movie is trash. That's what it is. It's called like I see it. But anyway, I digress. So the camera test shots reveal this red, white, and blue makeup. Much reminiscent of the serial killer John Wayne Gacy. And I was... I'm impressed. I'm really liking the music choice. I'm liking the look. There's the last still or the last shot of Joaquin Phoenix. He goes from smiling to just a straight face, like a I'll kill you like type face. And I'm like, oh, don't do it to me like this right now. Like, please, like, yo. And Grace is shitting on it. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm like, oh my god, Grace, shut the fuck up. Like. Bro, I am digging this so far. I saw the still shots of Amusement Park or Amusement Land, I think it was. I'm sorry. I'm misquoting it. But I saw the stills and I was impressed by the scenery, the color palette. I'm like, yo, it's shaping up. And if they stick rated R, they're going to be able to do some things creatively that are just going to shock people and really, I hope, grasp people into the film. So I'm very, very excited for the Joker film. You know what I'm not excited about? Venom. So... here we go. So
I'm really let down with Venom.
Like, I saw a trailer.
I was so hyped for it.
Bro, I was... when they announced it, I was hyped. When Tom Hardy was cast,
I was getting more hyped. And then I announced the trailer, and I was like, ooh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then here comes the rating, PG-13. I'm like,
I waited for that. You could tell by the dialogue. They were like, you were like, what's going on here? You could tell by some of the shots they were showing in the later trailers. I'm like, what is going on here? Like,
they should have did a rated R and released a Red Band trailer. You know how much more hype Venom would be if they were to do that, make Rated R and release a Red Band.
Well, you knew it wasn't coming when they were like, you know, remember the original trailer was talking about an anti-hero. What? A what?
Venom just is just a symbiote who just fucking eats people.
You know who's an anti-hero? Deadpool. That's my anti-hero. I got all the anti-hero I need out of Deadpool. There it is. I don't want my Venom to be an anti-hero. I want my Venom to be a scary fucking monster. Venom, a monster. Like,
that's exactly what he is.
Does he do good things sometimes? I don't know. Depends. But does he do good things all the time?
Well, he does good things if the bad guy pisses him off.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah, let it be like that.
Or if anyone pisses him off, he's going to retaliate.
This is not good or bad. He's like, we're making an agreement. We don't hurt good people, okay? Like, no, God.
Is Sony behind it?
Yes, this is Sony's
the same ones that made the god-awful Spider-Man films? The Sam Raimi Spider-Man?
We don't talk about Spider-Man 3. We've talked about this on earlier episodes. We don't bring up. Not in my presence, French. We do not bring up. What movie?
They should have let him do 4 just to try to at least make up for that piece of shit.
That is one. We don't talk about Spider-Man. First rule of Ghetto Chairs Podcast, we don't talk about Spider-Man 3, dog. I still get mad at people bringing that shit up, dog. I'm like, just don't fuck it. You know how many times I've seen that movie? Twice.
Sony fucked over Sam Raimi.
Oh God,
Just let him work, man. If they would just let him work, Venom wouldn't even been in it.
Topher Grace, bro. I saw Topher Grace in a movie on Netflix called Delirium recently. That was pretty good. I liked it. It's a pretty good film. Topher Grace is actually a decent actor, man. I like his acting. Like, his comedy, at least, is really funny. We don't talk about Spider-Man 3, bro.
Speaking of Topher Grace, Dave sent me a picture, and it said it had a picture of Eminem, and it said, Eminem looks like a Topher Grace playing Fidel Castro.
Leave M alone, man. He still can rap, bro. Like, he's just, you know. You lost, M. That's it. So, what's up next on the agenda? Let's talk about that other thing you brought up yesterday. When we're talking
Serena game?
Huh?
Serena Williams?
Yeah, Serena Williams, man. So, she lost to Naomi Osaka in the U.S. Open. I saw Naomi Osaka beat the white girl the day before. I didn't watch the entire match, but I watched the majority of it. And then she beat Serena Williams, which is her idol. And shout outs to the Japanese. Good for you. Serena Williams won a tirade against the judge. It's not the first time Serena has went off on a judge or had a tantrum on the court. And she did have somewhat of a point that sometimes the men say worse, right? And they're not penalized to the significance that she was, but sometimes they are. I mean, that's true too. I just don't agree with her making it about gender. It didn't have anything to do with her being a woman. It had to do with the fact that you're Serena Williams, a stud, and this judge has an ego. That's what it was about. I don't like when refs take the game into their hands, whether it be in sports or combat sports. I don't like it. Like when a referee... I remember in one of the greatest UFC fights I've ever seen, Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler. If you haven't seen that fight, YouTube it if you're a fight fan. And Nick Diaz is known, so is Nate, for talking shit. They talk shit because they fight you for real. It's not a joke. Like, you ever been in a fight in the street, you know you're calling somebody a bitch. Like, come on, bitch. What's up, bitch? Fuck you up. Or, like, you know, you from my life, nigga, I beat your ass, nigga. What's up, nigga? Let's go. Y'all watch the World Star videos. That's how people fight. They get verbal. Nick and Nate Diaz really fight like that because it's not a sport to them. They're for real. And they're from the old school. So they talk shit during fights. You can hear them. They're so loud and they're so angry and, like, you know, tense that you can hear them. And Mario Yamasaki tells Nick Diaz, this fight is old. It's like 50, like a 12-year-old fight. He tells him, hey, shut your mouth, Nick. No talking. What? Ref the fight, bro. Shut the fuck up. Don't talk to these men while they're throwing punches and kicks at each other. You shut up and you ref the fight and make sure no rules are being broken. He told this man no talking. Like he was in class.
Come on, man.
He's lucky he didn't get slapped or punched. I would have punched him if I was Nick Diaz. Who fuck? What? I'm in the middle of a fight. I'm fighting for my life right now. I can be killed. Elbow to my temple, right? Kick to my head, maybe I land on my neck wrong.
Just watch the fight, man. Just watch the blows.
You telling me not to talk? I'll beat your ass right after I'm done beating his ass. What's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's lucky he ain't get punched, bro. Like, you ref the fight. My thing with referees is control the rules. You're there to be a representation of the rules. That nothing else. That's it. So I agree with the ref when Serena violated the rule of being coached. Anybody who says she wasn't being coached, you're a liar. You're a liar, okay? The coach was giving her hand signals. That's cheating. I don't know why that's a rule. I think it's kind of silly, personally, but it's the rule. Can't break the rule. Not saying that Serena has won because of that. Clearly, she's better than every woman or every female tennis player that ever played a game. Clearly, by far. She doesn't need it, but she needed it that night because she was getting her ass kicked. You know, like, it's called spade to spade. But that was a rule violation. Take a point. Fair enough, judge. Second, she throws her racket down the ground. Can't do that in tennis. I played tennis. I know this. Take a point. Fair enough. Calling you a thief, Mr. Umpire, whatever your name is. I know you got some Spanish name, whatever. Calling you a thief and saying this and that, whatever. Nothing derogatory. Just saying how she felt. You decided to take a game from her. You're a fucking piece of shit. And you should be fired. And you should never, ever, not only referee a Serena Williams match, you should never be allowed, never be allowed to referee any finals or any Grand Slam tournament ever again. I don't give a fuck what your track record is. You took that personal. That is beyond your duties. When you put that fucking, those fucking Gucci loafer shoes on and those fucking white linen fucking pants and your little fucking suit jacket and shit, and you come out there and you sit on your high fucking chair and watch the ball bounce back and forth, you are no longer Raul, whatever the fuck your name is. You are a simple referee. You are nothing. And your job is to be a representation of the rules. The same applies to anything that regards rules or laws, whether you be a judge, whether you be a police officer. If a person wants to go out there into the middle of the street, get in front of a cop and say, "You fat fucking ugly piece of shit pig out there," as a police officer in uniform, you say and you do nothing. You are a representation. I know that sounds extreme to most people. That's why you're not a cop. And if you are a cop and you feel differently, please let me know who you are so I can bring you on my show and rip you a new a-hole. Because you are a representation of the law. Simple as that. You are not a person. You are not a human being. Your emotions have no bearing. You are a representation of the law, of the rules. That is it. Once you're out of uniform and you're back on the streets, hey, somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, you fat piece of pig fucking shit out spitting mother, fuck them up. Whoop they ass. Do whatever you want to do." But you are called to a higher purpose when you put on the uniform. And you are in charge of enforcing rule or law. That's it. So this judge, so this umpire who fucking took the game away. And granted, here's the part. Here's the funny part. Serena Williams was well on her way to losing. It wouldn't have made a difference. She wasn't going to beat that girl that night. That was that chick's night. It was her time to shine. I wish her much success after this. But you just don't do that. And it pisses me off every time I watch a sport where a referee or an umpire fucking takes the game away from the team's hands. I see it in the NFL all the fucking time. It's just ridiculous. It's like, these people should not be in these positions. Like, you fire them. If you should be known when you go through your referee school, your umpire school, if you're going to fucking make a mistake like that, it means zero tolerance. You're fired. That's it.
That's a costly mistake.
It's a costly mistake. Because huge mistake. You're changing the way the game is being played. You're changing the chance, the variance factor of the game, because you're taking it out of the people who are playing the game's hands. Now it's my game. Now you have to not only defeat the opponent you're playing against, but you have to defeat my rule of law.
Especially in football, when one little flag holding.
I just saw with my Green Bay Packers when Clay Matthews laid wood on fucking what's his face? Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. That was a clean.
That was one of the cleanest
sacks I've ever seen.
That shit happens all the time. And you want to call it dirty? Like, what the fuck, man? It's just clean as fuck.
Again, I have zero tolerance with this shit. So, like, I do not side with Serena Williams and her behavior. I think it was out of character. Not out of character, but just uncalled for. But I do not side with the referee to the extent that he took the game away. To the points, fair enough. 2 points, fair enough. She broke the rules. But her calling you a thief and whatever, that's her prerogative. Should have no bearing on your calling of the game. And you took it personal. So fuck you. You should be fired.
You know what?
You're incompetent.
You know what else are the worst refs ever?
Who?
When, what year was it in the Western Conference Finals? It was the Kings and Lakers.
Oh, I think I remember that.
The refs were all had their hands in that pot.
Yeah.
Anything to get them Lakers to go. And the Kings were kicking that ass.
But we know what the story is with NBA refs, so, you know, the mob and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look close enough. No, I know nothing. Okay. but Yeah. You told me about a shooting. I know about the shooting that happened with the police officer who... Now, here's what I want to know. I got some questions, but she broke it, or she busted in the door of the wrong person's house, and she fucking shot the dude and killed him in his home while he was probably watching fucking America's Got Talent or something, right?
That's the beginning of the story, because there's a lot more to this
story. What do you know? I don't know much.
A couple days later, it comes out that they found marijuana.
Where?
Like, by his pant leg or something. Like.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So what?
Like, it was planted there.
Oh, they think...
It had to have been. Come on.
Whether it was planted or not, so what? Like, do you understand what I mean? Whether it was planted... I'm going to tell you why, but do you understand what I mean? So whether it was planted there or whether he was smoking weed, so what?
Why does that got to get brought into it?
I know why. We know why it gets brought into it, to paint a narrative that, oh, this guy was a bad guy and she had every call to shoot the guy, right? No, it's not true. So what? So what that there was marijuana? So what? So fucking what? Here's the problem. Number one, was she by herself when she did this? Or did she have backup? You know?
I think she was by herself.
Wow. So this fucking Wonder Woman's wannabe son of a bitch kicked in the door of a vigilante or a felon that she was clearly going to make an arrest on, perhaps, right? By herself with no backup? That's odd. Did she have a search warrant? You know?
I don't know.
We should probably look into that if you can. We should probably look into that. I don't know if she had a search warrant or not, but if she's by herself, or if she was by herself, I'm going to say she didn't. I saw a Facebook post about it, and some stupid chick was saying some stupid shit about it. I don't know who she was. And I'm familiar with some of the MCL or statutes in the United States of America when it comes to civil rights. And one of the things I know about is no ID statutes. And the complaint from the lady on Facebook was, he should have complied. That's every like person's, especially every white person's response to when anybody gets shot, whether they be white or black or whatever. They should have complied with police officers. They should have complied. Just do what they say. Yeah. Just because you don't know your rights and you don't know your law, doesn't that people should do what you think is best, you fucking idiots. Like, you know, if anybody that doesn't know, Texas is a no ID state. So in Texas, in Texas, you don't have to present identification to what are you doing over there? We can hear everything.
Everything.
Anyway, in Texas, it's a no ID state. There are many states in the United States of America that are no ID states. So if you're pulled over in a routine traffic stop, if you're
stopped, she was off duty.
Why was she at his house then?
That's one. I'm trying to. Yeah, that holy just explains shit. Everything. That just puts a whole lot.
No
of
wonder. So now you don't have a warrant. Now you don't have backup, and you're off duty. What the fuck are you doing? Are you trying to be a hero? That's what it sounds like to me. You got a tip about a case you were working, and you busted into the wrong house because you're a fucking dumbass, and you finally realized that your job doesn't play out like TV. Okay. Anyway, Texas is a no ID state, dog. So, like, if you break into somebody's house, because that's what she did, you broke into someone's house, they don't have to comply with anything you're saying. If anything, she had to comply with what he was saying, but clearly, because she had the gun, someone would feel on the outside looking in that you should be doing what you're told. And where I'm from, that's called a little, what is that called? That's called like kidnapping or being held at gunpoint and being forced to do things you don't want to do against your will, right? I mean, that's what that sounds like to me. If somebody busts in this door right now with a gun pointed at us, are we going to do what we're told?
Why?
I mean, I don't want to get shot, right? But if somebody
in uniform, I hope Joy would come out of the room with like a pen or something.
But if somebody in uniform busts in this door, right?
Well, yeah,
am I gonna do what I'm told?
Are you?
No, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? Who the fuck are you? Why do you have why are you here? Why is there a police car outside with its lights? What the fuck do you get out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, do you have a warrant?
If a stranger breaks into my house with a gun, you know what that means? We're getting robbed. I'm going to be compliant because it's a different scenario. Like, I don't want to fucking get killed by this fucking criminal, right? If a police officer busts in my front door,
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. What are you doing? You're breaking all type of laws, you fucking idiot. What do you want? It doesn't even matter what you want. Get the fuck out. Well, who are you? Put your hands up. No, you put your fucking hands down. Get the fuck out my house. What? Stop waving that fucking gun and get the fuck out. I don't need to show you any ID. This is Michigan is a no ID state. I don't have to show you shit. You don't have a search warrant? Nothing? Or people go, what about a probable cause? Your probable cause. What probable cause means you have to suspect me of committing a crime. I'm sitting in my fucking home. Podcasting. What crime am I committing? Well, you look like you fit the description. I fit the description of what? Gray hoodie and blue pants. Oh, that sounds very specific. Get the fuck out. Now. Before I shoot you. How about that? What? You know you can blast somebody? Anybody. Police officer or not. If they break into your house without a search warrant. No search warrant. I don't give a fuck what Patriot Act law is out. If someone comes into your home unannounced with a gun, you have every legal right to shoot them. Cop or not, I will blast your ass. And I'll deal with the consequences later. How about that? What? What? It's America, ain't it? Land of the free, right? Stand your ground, protect yours. Right? All that shit, right? Come into my home with my family or my children or my dog, unannounced, and I don't know who you are, uniform or not, I'll gun you down. Right where you stand. Because that's called breaking and entering. That's what our guns are for, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't take our guns, right? Right?
Never take our guns.
Don't take our guns. We have to be able to protect ourselves and defend the home, right? Uniformed or not, I will blow your fucking muffin top off if you break into my shit unannounced. And I don't know you. It's as simple as that. What world are we living in? Honestly. Honestly, what's wrong with people?
I don't know, man.
What's wrong with people, man? I don't get it. You broke into this man's house while he was minding his fucking business, and then you had the fucking unmitigated gall to shoot him. Which means you don't even know who you're looking for. That's what that means. If anything, I would delve deeper into this to see if she has some personal shit. What, did he fuck you and not give you a call back or something? Like, what's going on here? Sounds personal. You made a mistake. No, you didn't. I think it's personal. I think you probably met him at a bar. He fucked you. He didn't call you back because you're a police officer. You got mad and you decided to get a little revenge. And it just went a little bit too far, right? That's how I'd be talking to her, breaking her down. Fucking process. It just went a little bit too far, right? Just went a little bit too far. People want to make it about a black thing and a white thing. It has nothing to do with that. I don't think. I think it's just about being stupid. There are fucking stupid people in positions of authority all throughout the world. And she doesn't even have any real authority. She's off duty, which means you have no authority.
Which means you're just a normal civilian.
Here's the thing about off-duty cops I want to talk about as well. If you're not in uniform, you don't have the badge, you don't have a squad car.
Then you're a normal fucking person.
You're a normal fucking person. I'm so sick of this bullshit. What did I see on Facebook about off-duty police officers doing this and doing that? Hey, if you want to be a hero and save the day, hey, you do what you got to do, man. But at the end of the day, all you people defending this fucked up shit that off-duty officers do, they're just normal people. You're only the law when you're in uniform. Again, it goes back to what I just said earlier. When you're in uniform, I'll say whatever the fuck I want about you because you have no rights. You are the rights. You protect the rights. You have none. I have the rights because I am a civilian. When you take off the uniform, when you're off duty, you are a civilian, not a cop. What is going on? Why are we just confused about all this? We have very clear lines drawn.
Maybe it's the corrupted trainings program that's got these motherfuckers all in their heads.
Bro, I don't know, man. Like, and don't get it twisted. Like, I'm not like fucking a cop killer or a cop hater or some weird shit like that. Like, you can run some more. I love police. I'm an adult and people steal my shit. I'm gonna call police, right? I want police officers to protect and serve and me and whatever. I want all that shit, right? But it's still fuck the police. Because the system is fucked up. I don't have a problem with police officers. This is the fucked up system. And it's unfortunate that they have to willingly or unwillingly propagate that system. But it is what it is at the end of the day. That's what we're in. That's what we're dealing with. None of this has any bearing on what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going into a citizen's home unannounced and shooting them. That is what the issue is. That is the problem. That should be the focus. She should do some time. She is not fit to protect and serve. She is not fit to be a representation of the law.
So far, she's only been charged with manslaughter and held on a $300,000 bond. And the police chief has not fired her from department yet.
Of course they don't fire her, because that's that bullshit thin blue line. Brothers, we got to protect our brothers and sisters. No, you don't. Your job is to uphold the law.
Sounds like gang shit.
That's what that sounds like. Again, so when people look at me when I tell them there's no such thing as a bad cop, or a good cop, I'm sorry, they get mad at me. I'm like, there's no such thing as a good cop. You propagate the system, correct? So you're part of it, willingly or unwillingly. You know, in the 1980s, they had a law where when the gangs, the Bloods and the Crip gangs were so out of control and so bad in California, in Los Angeles, that if you were a Blood member, right, French, and I was a Blood member, and I'm in fucking Crenshaw, and you're in fucking San Francisco, whatever the fuck, and I kill somebody, they could arrest you and your friends and charge you with the crime. It was one of these guilty by association laws. A lot of people don't remember that. Yeah. What? Yeah, that was a law in California.
So you would commit the crime, and I would get arrested in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm, because you were part of the gang. You were a Blood member.
Okay.
Guilty by association, right? Same thing applies to police officers. You're guilty by association. I'm sorry. What? What do you want me to do? Want me to make it better? I can try, but I would need every other citizen behind me to back me on what I think. It's not going to happen. So until then, until the system changes, you're guilty by association. Love you. Thank you. I think you're underpaid. I think you're underappreciated. I think you have an impossible job to do. I think all those things at the same time screaming, fuck the police. What? What?
We got 40 minutes.
You paused it? Oh, fuck. We got 40 minutes.
Anything else you got on the top of your dome?
Not right now. We'll save it for the next podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll end it here. Go follow the Ghetto Cheers Instagram, Ghetto Cheers, CHIRZ. Go follow the Ghetto Cheers Facebook, CHIRZ. Email us at ghettocheers@gmail.com. Subscribe to donate to the Patreon. Please subscribe to us most importantly, subscribe to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts specifically. And thank you for listening. We out.
Peace.